It's amazing how timing makes all the difference in the world. I mean, that was very appropriate, Brett, to do that at that time. It really was appropriate. Timing makes all the difference in the world. And fact is that timing has a lot to do with what happens in our lives. Because you go to get a job, they're looking for somebody, and you happen to have the skills that they need, and you get the job. You can go any other time. They don't need that person. They don't need somebody that has those skills, and you don't get the job. That's the way you get the job. I was in Palm Springs, California. There was a sign up there. You know, it said, these lights have been timed for 45 miles an hour. And so I said, that's great. So I drove 45 miles an hour. And you know, it was absolutely amazing. I stopped at every light because of that. You know, timing is about our lives, because we have moments in our life in which that time will pass. For example, there is a time that you have an opportunity for raising your kids. You raise your kids, and if, you know, I'm just going to say this, is that there will be a time, though, that you will no longer be raising your kids, because there's going to be a time in which they'll move out of your home if you're lucky. And what they're going to do is they're not going to listen to you like they did before. They're going to have their own lives, and the time will have passed. You see, I think that we need to have an urgency about the time that we have at hand. We have an urgency that says, you know what? I have this moment. I can't go back to what I did in the past. I can't go back, and I don't care how much regret I have. I don't care how many times that I wish that I didn't do some things. I can't go back to it. But what I do have is I have an urgent moment at hand to take that moment and use that moment till its fullness. There doesn't seem, however, to be an urgency in the life of Christians, though. And that's bothered me. I guess maybe we've understood that we're forgiven, you know, we're forgiven. And if we neglect what we're supposed to do, we're just going to be forgiven for that too. Maybe we don't see the people around us, and we don't see the urgency of the moment in which we need to share Christ and be a witness to them. Maybe we don't actually believe that God cares, and maybe we're just pretending to know Him in the first place. I wonder how many people have walked the aisle, especially in a Baptist church. They walk down an aisle to an invitation, and there's been a preacher that, you know, it's not me, but the preacher that is good at getting people to walk down the aisle. I mean, they not only do they encourage them, they get them down there because, I mean, people just flat out feel like they got to go down the aisle. They go down the aisle, and the preacher says to them, you say these words after me. You say these words, and when you say these words after me, you're going to be saved. And so they save those words. And then they said, well, next thing you got to do is you got to be baptized. So they take them up there, and they dunk them all the way under the water. They immerse them in the water. And they come out, and they say, you know what? I have done everything that I need to do right now. All I got to do is kind of hang around, see if God's got a blessing for me, and then I'm going to exit this world. And they think that's all there is to it. Have we done that? Have we done that so that people think that's all there is to it? Well, let me tell you, the early Christians that we saw in that video there, they had a real faith. They had a real faith that was beyond a superstition, just on something that they hoped for. You see, they knew their Lord. Not only did they know Him in the sense that every one of those apostles, every one of them had known the Lord Jesus Christ. They had seen the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew of His death and they knew of His resurrection. But they continued to have the Holy Spirit in their lives. They continued to have the working of God in their lives. And they continued to have an urgency to get out there and see the gospel being presented. And so what is it with the church today? Do you think the church doesn't know Him? Is the church not filled with the Holy Spirit so that the Spirit is speaking to us so that we will be able to go out boldly and share the gospel? Are we awake? Let's look at what the Scripture says. Romans 13:11. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. Let's leave that up there for a second. You know that I go back and I take this and I always translate it from the Greek. And a lot of people say, why do you do that? You've got it in English already. In fact, you got it in several different copies that have been translated. So why do you do that? It makes me focus. I'm not very good at Greek, by the way. And so it makes me focus on the words. Let me give you my translation and you can look at that and see how different it is. And this, knowing the time, that the high hour already awakens you out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we believed. The literal translation that is there. Now, Paul is speaking of previous verses. What he said in the previous verses is, loving others should be our motivation. Loving others should be our motivation to win people to Christ and make disciples. Let me say this to you folks. We need to have a faith that produces. We need to have a faith that has commitment. James says this. James chapter 2, verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? What I know is this, and this is the thing. I don't really like chewing people out. I'll be up front with you. But I think we got to wake up. Did you know that 90% of people who call themselves Christians, 90% of the people who call themselves Christians, outside of talking to their own children, they have never shared their faith with anyone else. They have never shared their faith with anyone else. See, if we have faith, faith must include commitment, or it is not saving faith. You see, it's not that I don't believe that faith saves you. I believe that faith does save you, but faith that has commitment, it's a commitment that's built into that faith. See, salvation is a commitment in which we say, Jesus is Lord. Salvation is a commitment that is found in repentance. Salvation is a commitment that is found in obedience. Lordship means absolutely nothing without obedience. And I wonder how many people are saying, you know, when they said, well, I believe, what they're actually saying is, I wish it was true. I wish that I was really going to heaven. And they told me I was because, you know what? I repeated that prayer the preacher gave me when I walked down the aisle. And that's what I'm dependent on. I'm dependent on the fact that I said the right words and I did the right thing and I got up in the baptistry. And I'm wondering how many people that are in church really do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. What they do is they wished it was true. They wished that they had everything that it said that they should have. They wished all of that. I wonder how many preachers are actually going to be in hell because they've wished and they've never really believed in the sense that they had a saving faith in which their life was changed. I've been on YouTube lately. I was watching this college coach, and he tells... on his videos, he says, I tell the players, he says that they should execute the process. He said, our practices are such, we present situations to them. And what we tell them to do is, you do these things. So you just simply do. You follow the process. You do what you're supposed to do in every situation. And if you keep doing the right things, you're going to get the right results. I've been around long enough to know that's not true. It's not always true. You can do the right things and you won't get the right results sometimes. There's too many factors that go into all of that. What we've got to have is not that we're looking at the results. I mean, too many times what we do, what do we do in a Baptist church especially? We count how many baptisms we got. We count how many people joined the church. We count those kinds of things. But is it the results that we want to have? Is it the results that we need to have? We need lives that are changed. Pastor came to me in this area several years ago, and he said to me, and he says, I'm preaching to less people than I was when I was younger. And he says, I'm trying to be obedient. I'm doing what the Lord tells me to do. Why should there be less people there? And I said, you know what? That sounds like obedience to me. That sounds like faithfulness to me. I said, I didn't see that jump on his case and say, you ought to have more. You know what? Because faithfulness is being obedient no matter what the result will be. No matter what the result is, you are obedient. See, salvation and being obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ just might require your life. The results may not look very good, but that's what it's really about. Love and the opportunity of time are the reasons that Christians should be awakened from their slumber. Love and the opportunity of time. Neither me, nor you, nor anybody else that calls themselves a believer has the luxury of sloth, that we can do nothing. And we have missed the opportunity so often of winning souls and making disciples, so that we have left people that are going to an eternal hell, or other people that are going to have fruitless lives. In this room, this very room we've got right here, there will never be the same combination of people. You can look around you. You can look at these people and you can say, well, I know a lot of these people. I've seen a lot of these people. But I'm going to tell you, the exact same combination will never be in this room again. See, and some of you will never come back here. Some of you will never have the opportunity to come back here. And my love, and I need to have that love, and the knowledge of a limited amount of time requires that I look at every last one of you. I cannot ignore you and act as if you don't matter while I'm saying that I love you. And I'm realizing that the limited amount of time, I cannot simply let you walk out without me urging you to hear the call of the Lord. For He is calling you. The Lord is calling you by name. If you can listen, you will hear Him call you by name. And He is calling you to do what? To walk with Him. Simply to be obedient. John Parker, he was assigned to guard President Lincoln on April the 14th, 1865. He arrived 3 hours late to relieve the previous bodyguard. The president had gone to our American cousin, which was a comedy at Ford's Theater. At intermission, he left with the footman and the coachman of Lincoln's carriage to go to the Star Saloon next to Ford's Theater. He was not there when John Wilkes Booth entered the president's box, Booth timed the shot to the back of the president's head when there was going to be which they knew because the play had gone on before, there was going to be an uproar of laughter just to kill the sound. You see, if John Parker had not neglected his duty, the president may not have been shot. How many people will pass us by will find themselves in an eternal hell, will find themselves in a fruitless life if they are believers, because we have not been on duty and not doing what we've supposed to do. So Paul urges us with these words. He says, our salvation is nearer than ever. Many people think they already have their salvation. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? You see, you don't have the final product. What happens is that you've got a promise of a final product. And what you have is you have the Holy Spirit as a down payment of the final product. But it's like when you order something from Amazon. You order it from Amazon. You pay for it from Amazon. They say that it's on the way and you're going to receive it, but you don't have it yet. You see, it is ours, but we still have to wait till it arrives. Our salvation is paid for by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. We have a measure of it because we've given the Holy Spirit. Yes. You see, but here's our situation. We will have all of it one day. One day when we stand with our Lord. See, before we have our salvation, we do not have the Holy Spirit. And before we had the Holy Spirit, we could not understand spiritual things. But now, with you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you know and you're able to hear Him speak to you, and you understand spiritual things through Him. And so we have the Holy Spirit who speaks to us, who leads us, who even straightens out our prayers and fills us up and gives us a boldness that most Christians don't have. And the reason is because they won't let Him go in just far enough, not all the way. I believe that a lot of people think that salvation is that all they're going to have is salvation. Everything they got on earth is exactly what they're going to get when they finally get their final salvation. It's going to be exactly the same thing. It's not. See, I think they're listening to words of lore. They're listening to other people and all of this kind of stuff, not really listening to the Bible and looking at what the Bible says. See, I believe that a lot of people think that what they do is they give their life to Christ, and that's all they need to do. That's it. And so they live their lives with impunity toward the responsibility that they have because they are believers. This is the story. We have times in our church. There'll be a family. Family will come and they'll be regular. They'll be here every Sunday. And you know what happens? Their last child finally gives his life to Christ. We baptize the child, and that's the last we see of them. That's the end of it. We have that. We've had that happen many times. And what they don't realize is that the Bible doesn't support that sort of thing. The Bible says that the followers of Jesus will stand before Him one day to have all that we have done in the body judged. See, it is from here we're going to receive rewards or no rewards. Yes, the wrath of God shall be requited because of the sacrifice of Jesus. You're going to stand before Jesus, and you're not going to go to hell. I'm not trying to tell you that. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to go to hell. Yet the rewards that will last through eternity will be determined by what we have done. And I'm afraid that some of us will stand before our Lord on that judgment day that Christians will have, and we'll be like that unfaithful steward, the one that had the one talent, and he took it and he buried it in the ground, and he comes back and he says, "That's all I got." You're going to get salvation, by the way. But you see, you're not going to be able to receive the rewards that the Lord has for you. So let's go on with the scripture. Romans 13:12. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. He's saying here, our time of selfishness, this time of selfishness is over. It is over. The text tells us that the night has advanced beyond the night. That's literally what it says there. Night carries with it the idea of sleeping. We are not to be asleep anymore. It's no longer can we run over, we can roll over and hit that snooze button anymore. That time has passed already. The night gives us the idea that we're not aware of what needs to be done. The night carries with it the idea of hidden acts that we might have done. You know, these are the evil things. Maybe those times have passed us. We don't have any time for that anymore. In John chapter 3 verse 19 it says, "And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." See, Most of us, realizing that when we are in the flesh, I'm not talking about in our bodies, I'm talking about our lower nature. So we did not know what was going on. That time has passed. If you had the Holy Spirit come into you, that time has passed. This is the darkness that he talks about. I can almost guarantee you that every one of you can remember a time, and some of you got saved at a very early age and will have a difficult time with this because the biggest sin you ever did was you stole some cookies out of a cookie jar. But I'm saying that there are some of you that you can remember, you can't remember, but most of you can remember there was a time before you understood any of what I'm trying to tell you, because you were in the darkness, you were away, and you did not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have a time that it was pre-knowing Christ, but a lot of us, and me included, came to a time in our lives that's post-knowing Christ, where we acted as if we didn't know Christ at all, and we acted in the flesh, and we walked right back into the darkness, and we wanted to stay in that darkness. And so, you know, I don't think that, you know, most of us have been sinful in the way the world would call ourselves greatly sinful. But the reality is that we knew that we was far from God, and probably that may be the reason that you're here today. It may be because you've had that aha moment, you know, I can't live like this anymore. I need to get back to where the Lord is. I need to walk back into the light. But what happens to us so often is we go back into the light, and you know what happens? The light hurts our eyes a little bit. It starts to expose some things. And so we don't go all the way into the light. We just go enough into the light. And so that our journey back to God is not complete. See, we come to the worst place we could be. We come to the place called comfortable. We get to the place where we say, well, you know what? I'm committed enough to the Lord Jesus Christ, but I'm not fully committed. The martyrs didn't go there, by the way, folks. Each one of them that made a sacrifice to the Lord Jesus Christ, each one of them that had the Holy Spirit that was in them, each one of them put their service, their time, their finances, and everything under the Lord Jesus Christ. And so many people have just gone just far enough to get to the place of comfortable. I'll tell you this, folks. I think being comfortable is the most dangerous thing the church experiences today. Because let me tell you what happens when you go with a journey with God. And this is absolute truth. Your complete journey in walking with God is dangerous. Hear me on that. It is dangerous. If you want safety, you're not going to get it out of this. But God is dangerous because He will command you to go into a place that is not comfortable. He will command you to come out of that place. And He's going to say, that's not where the flesh wants to be. The flesh wants the place of comfort. In fact, God will require the death of the flesh to get you there. In Romans chapter 8, verse 13, it says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." See, putting the deeds of the body is, yes, your decision. But it says by the Spirit you've got to do it. In other words, if you think that by your own efforts you're going to be able to put to death the deeds of the body, the deeds of the flesh, you are absolutely wrong. And the natural reaction of the flesh is saying to you, no, I don't want to do that, because the flesh gives me fun, and if I live under the Holy Spirit, it's just dull. I'll go to church. I'll read the Bible. That'll be dull. But the truth is what is actually, it's just the opposite of that. See, putting to death the deeds of the body results in living. Let me say this to you, folks. If you totally give your life over, if you totally take on what you really know that the Spirit is telling you, you get into that land of danger and not in the land of comfortable, you'll find it exciting. I promise you, it will be exciting. And how do we do that? We cast off the works of darkness. The works of darkness are pulling us down in this lake, and we're drowning in the works of darkness. And so what is happening is we're fighting like crazy to get a breath of air, but we can't get a breath of air because we've got these works of darkness like weights that are pulling us down. And the only way we're ever going to break through the surface is we gotta let go of those works of darkness. It is the only way that we'll make it to the surface. Years ago, I watched a movie called Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. You know, that was the one where he went to get the Holy Grail. And you remember at the very end of it, they had the Holy Grail. They found it. And there's a big crack in the ground, and the grail is falling down in there, and people are trying to reach, and they're grabbing it. But when they go in and they try to grab that Holy Grail, which will be something that the world will call them great because they have the grail, what they're falling in, they're doing is they're falling into the abyss. And the only way they can have life is to let go of the thing that is going, and that is going to give them the place in the world. And they have to choose life, but a lot of people don't choose life. They choose comfort. Casting off the works of darkness precedes putting on the armor of light. See, armor brings the images of a battle. The battle is against the darkness. Maybe you'll be surprised by this. Let me ask you, do you think the world is becoming closer to God as a whole? You think that what's happening, you watch the news and stuff, and you say, you know what, I think the world's just getting closer and closer to God. Do you think that the things of God are being ignored more than ever before when you say that? Do you see that spiritual things are being belittled more openly than you've ever seen it before? Do you understand that the darkness is still trying to overcome the light? Because that's what's going on. And right now, folks, right now, it looks like the darkness is winning. Let's be honest. It looks like the darkness is winning. Why is that? Why is that? Why is it that we see darkness coming? And I'll tell you what I believe. I believe because the church hasn't awakened. Church universal has not awakened. We're living in the land of comfort, and we're not going to where God wants us to be. And what is happening to us is that because we're not willing to go completely. You say, Lord, I don't want a filling of the Holy Spirit. I just want like a fourth of a cup, if that's okay. I don't want to get the whole thing. I don't want to be full all the way up. I don't want to do everything that you tell me to do. I just want to do part of what you tell me to do. And because of that, it looks like the darkness is winning. What we have the time at hand. We have right now. You know, and if we aren't obedient to what the Lord wants us to do, I can tell you what, we can expect things to get worse, even worse than they are now. But if we respond to the Lord, can you imagine what would happen if we had such a filling of the Holy Spirit in our church, and then the church down the street, and a church down beyond that, and a church down behind that? And what happened is there was a filling of the Holy Spirit in all of these churches. What would happen? You know what would happen? Every Sunday there would be people who are coming and saying, I'm giving my life to the Lord Jesus Christ for the very first time. What would happen is the churches, every one of the churches would be full. Not only would they be full, there would be probably people sitting on the outside trying to figure out what's going on in the inside. And they would do so because the believers woke up. I think it's time for us to wake up. We have this time at hand.